Yeah, I mean, Greg's already been in here, and we can't disagree already. I mean, it's already disagreement completely. How are you, Greg?
Good.
Good morning.
Yeah.
Good morning.
Good.
Now,
how are you doing?
I'm doing well. Long time no see you. I told people yesterday, and I told Henry, I purposely have just stayed away because people are accusing, you were already accusing me of being anti-Henry.
Oh.
And you know, friend of Greg's, which I am a friend of yours. There's no question. And I'd be a friend of Henry's, too. I mean, that's fine, too. Henry's a good guy. I mean, I enjoyed having him in here. But I purposely didn't ask you any questions or anything because I didn't want to get caught up in the whole controversy of us against them and all that. And,
right.
And the only thing I care about in some of the controversy, we'll let everybody know, but, you know, the city more than you being the leadership in the city,
right.
Been accused by some of mishandling the Pacific Athletic Complex, some of the bonding, some of the issues are there. And I really don't know the answers. I haven't researched it completely. And Henry brought up a lot of stuff yesterday that I want to run by you, and I'm sure you already know what they are.
Yeah, I didn't listen. Sorry, Russ, but I didn't listen.
It hurt my feelings here.
Obviously, one of my close acquaintances listened and kind of gave me a list of some things.
Well, and we put Henry's, we're going to put it on the webpage. I edited it this morning, you know, just took out the commercials, so that if somebody wants to listen to the conversation that Henry and I had yesterday and some of his issues. And like I told him, I think it's great to ask questions. And we should be questioning our officials,
Absolutely.
Should be questioning our city, and we should be holding our feet to the fire on getting things done properly.
Absolutely.
But if we find they're properly, we should, you know, let their feet go.
Yep.
You know, if we find that out. And I don't know the answers. But I'll ask you some of the questions that Henry and I covered yesterday. One of them, you're scared of being fired.
Okay.
Look. So,
you know, I mean, here's the thing. You know, obviously, there's a lot of people that don't like what he's doing. But
Henry or you?
Henry.
I think you, too.
Well, you know.
Some people, okay. I've heard complaints about you. I hear complaints about me, too. Don't get me wrong.
But. No, I'll take that.
Okay.
Because I know no matter what you do, if you do something, you're going to have people that like it, and you're going to have people that don't like it.
Particularly the bigger influence, the bigger public eye you have on you.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah, but see, there's a couple of things here. First of all, there's a First Amendment, and people can pretty much say what they want.
Sure.
It doesn't have to be the truth.
Yeah.
But there's also something with police officers. I think it's under Title 38, Police Officers Bill of Rights, which almost makes them bulletproof, where, you know, you can't fire them and all these other kind of stuff. Government is not like the private sector. I mean, if someone like this had these allegations towards a private company, he'd be gone overnight.
But see, I didn't even know that about police officers.
Yeah.
I thought, like any employee, like I'm an employee of this radio station.
Mm-hmm.
If I get out on social media and do something that's really controversial and racial or something stupid or something hateful, which Henry's not being that, but I mean, I'm just using it as an extreme.
Mm-hmm.
I my key wouldn't work in the door the next day.
Right.
It just wouldn't work.
Yeah.
I'd be gone. And but police officers get a little more leniency.
Oh, tremendous more. They're, you know, it's actually, you know, written in law and that kind of stuff. I think more he needs to be concerned more with the Brady list and, you know, not telling the truth and some of those other kind of things. Maybe.
So you think some of the stuff he's saying is just flat not true?
Yeah. And it is. It's not true.
And do you believe he knows it's not true, or do you believe?
I think some of the things he doesn't. It basically, you know, when I looked at the presentation that he did, because I haven't watched any of his videos, he doesn't. It's apparent to me he doesn't understand bonds at all, which I understand you kind of called him on a little bit.
I challenged him on the bonds, and then look, I've been on a lot of boards where I've had to. I was a treasurer for the board for the hospital,
right?
Where we had to. I mean, believe me, we talked to bond managers a lot,
right?
And got those redone.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as legal issues, I'm not a lawyer. I mean, I would have to have them in the same conference.
And that's what we do.
Yeah.
Yeah, we do that. We hire a bond lawyer, and he goes through all the stuff, make sure it's up on the thing.
But since you mentioned it, Henry did bring up a lot about the bonds. Let's just move right into that.
Okay.
Now, the bond, it was explained to me by Henry, because I haven't read it, Greg.
I just happen to have a copy.
Yeah, have a copy of it. Apparently, that bond included many things, the Pacific Athletic Complex, as well as refinancing some other issues that to get better rates, as well as something else.
So I do have the bond document. I can just show you the right points. But The original bond was a 1995 bond, which was refinanced in 2003, which was refinanced in 2007, which was refinanced in 2015, and things were added to it.
And that's typical.
Yeah, it is.
It's typical for municipalities or hospitals.
Absolutely.
Or anything else. Because when you get a better deal, you change.
Yeah, and interest rates were dropping. But, yeah. I mean, there's in that bond, there's a couple of fire stations. There's some things, a canine facility, storage facility. I mean, there's a ton of stuff that's public safety, public safety, but the majority actually is public safety that's on that bond.
Well, part of the problem that Henry pointed out that him and others have a problem with was there were some things in that bond as it was redone that were not transparent or not legal, and that was that the bond was guaranteed with a 1% fund or whatever he said, but not the 2% fund. And yet we told the voters the 2% fund's going to pay for the PAC, but then we told the people with the bond that's not where the money's coming from.
Yeah, absolutely not true.
Okay.
And I think this goes to he's been misled by other people, or he doesn't understand, or he's purposely telling the truth or not telling the truth. So what I did was I brought the bond for you.
Let me glance at it. See, so, I've held it, but
yeah. Okay, so that's the bond they're talking about. So if you page back, I think about four or five pages.
Okay.
First thing you want to do, it's a 75-page document, the original. Go back to the table of contents.
Okay.
I think it's back a little bit more.
Security and source of payment. You already highlighted. You already knew that was a question.
Yeah. So the very first thing you do, if you don't know anything about bonds, is you look at the table of contents to see where it calls out what the payments are supposed to be in a bond and all that kind of stuff.
And where the money comes from.
Yeah, exactly. If you want to go ahead and read that.
Purchase payments will be made solely from excise tax revenue, pledge revenue, or other monies. And that's a typical word.
There you go.
I've seen that many times, or other monies and catch-alls.
Yeah, and when you put together a bond document, obviously in the front you can see our bond rating. Our bond rating is based upon the general fund, and when we pledge, and I think every city in the country does this, probably every county too, that you pledge your general fund because you want to pledge the revenue source that gets your best bond rating so you get the best interest rates.
Yeah, the more security that they have, the best interest rate.
Absolutely. And then, of course, you pay the bond. Statement that you read in the back about all that and other monies is exactly what everybody puts in their money. So any legal source of money to pay off the bond can be used.
And you put it all in there, and that's how you get the rating.
Absolutely. I mean, there's nothing.
I guess I had a disagreement with Henry on that. I said, this just doesn't sound right.
No.
But I'd have to check it out, and I'd have.
Yeah. I would not.
What is that?
Exactly. Trust but verify, you know. Yeah. And that's fine. That's good. That's a good thing for the community, you know, to, be engaged, be involved. And you don't have to be a conspiracy theory or make things up. But if you have questions about it, call me. And you know.
And I have. And I've been in your office many times.
And I presented to betteryuma.org yesterday. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's that group's kind of, I wouldn't say funny, but maybe kind of funny, is part of them are really good and part of them are,
they're not a very visible group.
Right.
They're kind of a behind-the-doors group. They're not a group like, many of them that are very open and very public and very out there. They're a little bit behind the scenes.
Yeah. And I was surprised that Sergeant Valenzuela is a member of BetterYuma.org, which I didn't know until I showed up.
I think I've been to one meeting with them early on, and it wasn't a group that I really needed to spend time with. I mean, anybody who wants to make Yuma better, I'm all for them.
Yep.
But good for them.
Yep. Every time they've asked me to come, I've gone and talked to them. Yeah. I told them, I said, you got questions for me? I go, give them to me. We'll answer them. I'll come back. I'll talk to you whenever you want. And I told them, this can be a hostile audience, but... You know, that's okay.
Well, no. I mean, I don't.
Yeah.
Look, I'll ask you a million questions, and I have, and I've challenged you, but it's never been hostile.
No, never.
I've disagreed with you. Mm-hmm. It's never been.
And that's fine.
I don't call you names.
No.
I'm thinking about it. Let's go right into another one. 2% going bankrupt. Now, that's a concern, and Henry brought this up, and I never asked this question of you or never knew where it was. But he said it went from 800,000 down to 300,000, and it's projected by your numbers to go into the red, possibly. And is it the and of course I don't even have all the questions. I mean, I don't know if it's true, and I don't know, is the PAC driving that? Did we bite off more than we can chew? What's going on?
No, that's not true. He doesn't understand city funding or anything.
He said
with
it was using your numbers.
Well, it's okay. So the 2% is a revenue account. Every year it generates X amount of money, and we spend that towards whatever the voters designated. Within the 2% fund, we are required to put $400,000 into tourism, which we currently spend about $600,000 to the Visitors Bureau.
Right.
So we have $600,000 to go to the riverfront. I know we provide them more than that. And then by the original voters, it was supposed to be $2.5 million. To the park and rec.
How much does it take in every year?
$7 million.
It takes in $7 million.
So we have $3.5 million above the minimum requirements to spend on any of those things. So his statement just makes no sense. That a revenue fund like that can't go bankrupt. It's
a revenue fund. It's not a balance sheet.
Right.
Okay, I understand. But still, you could overextend your expenses on parks. You could potentially go beyond $7 million and. Then it would be in the general fund to pay for it. But you're not there. You're not doing that.
No. So, you know, and that's one of the things, you know, I think the 2% tax, you know, was approved by the voters, and it's been reapproved several times. And the 2% was to pay down debt service. So it was to pay to build new things. We've built the Valley Aquatic Center. We've built the Yuma Valley Park, which is our soccer field. We did the tennis courts. We put some into the golf course. You know, and obviously we built half of the PAC is being paid for out of it.
And originally the convention center, but that was its origination,
right.
And it continues such, and you keep building. I got to take a break. I'm cutting you off.
Yeah.
We'll be right back. AM 560 KBLU. Greg Wilkinson's here. Well, you stop talking off air.
Yeah.
I normally never do that, but
yeah.
I had to ask you more questions about the 2% fund because, and somebody texted me. And said the 2% fund spending more than the income every year. And they're just asking the question.
No, it can't happen.
It can't happen.
No.
You could technically have some big project that's bigger than the fund, but you don't have that.
No. If we have a big project such as the PAC or the Valley Aquatic Center or those other things that took more money, and remember that 2% was created to pay debt service, pay bonds.
Yeah.
So we would go out bond and we would use the 2% to pay it. But... No.
And your bond obligations right now, I mean, your obligations for bond and commitment to travel and all that comes to about $3.5
million? No, you're talking bond? No.
Bond payments?
The original PAC was about $12 million. Half of that is coming out of development fees and half is coming out of 2%. So there's about a $6 to $7 million over a 20-year period has to come out of 2%.
But, I mean, how much per year is your commitment and payments?
I think it's $555,000 out of 2% and about the same out of development fees.
So about a half a million. But
right.
total commitment out of that 2% fund, like you said, the travel's $400,000.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And this commitment, as well as other bond issues, what is that total commitment?
$3.5 million
That's what
is the minimum. So there's an extra $3.5 million above that.
So $3.5 million is your minimums every year that you have to pay out of the 2%.
Yes.
And your total 2% is coming in over $7 million.
Yes.
So you're not in any trouble of not meeting requirements?
No. No, all of that was really made up. It's just a lack of understanding of finances and city finances. It's like accounting 101, though. It's not like rocket science.
Well, and when Henry was in yesterday, he started talking about, you know, $800,000 is in the fund and it's being brought down. And like you say, it's not really a fund that's kept like that. It's an income source.
Right.
And there was money, $800,000, that was unspent that was carried over to the next year.
Right.
But that doesn't mean that's a fund balance. It's not a fund balance.
No, it's just, you know, just because government has money, we don't need to spend it all.
And you can't roll it into the general fund.
No.
Because that money has
anywhere.
To stay in...
Yes.
In parks, recreation, and what it was, the travel, the things
exactly.
It's designed for.
Exactly. So that money will carry over to next year.
It's committed.
Kind of as surplus from this year.
And it's
got to
be spent on those issues.
Yeah,
because
exactly.
That's what the voters voted on. And that's
right.
Where they put it.
Yeah. And we've worked hard to make sure we execute what the voters said they wanted, because there was examples of facilities of things that the voters wanted or that, you know, they voted on. So we're trying to execute that.
One of the big ones that Henry brought up, I don't know where my notes are, but they're here somewhere. I'll find them. But anyway, he put down the amount of money that was shown as revenue for the PAC.
Mm-hmm.
And he felt it was misrepresented because it was gross, not net, like net revenue. Because you put down the number of hot dogs, I mean, the dollars in hot dogs you sold, not the dollars in hot dogs you made profit on, which I know it's funny, like, saying profit in the city, because city's never going to make profit.
No,
but
we don't do net. We do gross. Cities
and
don't
is that,
do
is that universal on everything you do?
Yes. Yes, it is.
Okay. So there's a consistency.
Yes. And I, you know, all cities do
that. But you're talking about funds being brought in.
Right.
Raw. Just raw funds. Like,
yes.
If you sell a hot dog for a buck, you brought in a buck.
Exactly. And I
only made 30 cents on it.
Yeah, and I looked at that slide, and it's pretty confusing the way they were trying to depict it. Some of the things were right, some of the things were wrong.
Right.
But it's just a misunderstanding of economic impact and that kind of stuff. They didn't really understand what economic impact is and the things how it works in the community.
Well, and honestly, they think that you are misrepresenting the numbers. And that you painted, or you, meaning the city, I'm just saying you.
Right.
The city painted this PAC as being an attraction that will bring business, an attraction that will be a good investment for the city. And we use the terms investment when we say those things.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not paying back. And they tried to put some numbers together that showed that, if you extrapolate out on how much each game cost us, you know, something like 30,000,
yeah,
you know, some crazy money numbers, which, you know, is an interesting way to look at it, but
that's not true. So the thing with economic impact, so we had some of the numbers we did not come up with. We actually went out to the Visitors Bureau, who does visitors, and because what we're talking about is, first of all, the facility was built because we were turning away youth teams and all kinds of teams that didn't have fields for them to play on. So we did that for the local community, give the, adult softball is there, we have kids games there, and we just did not have enough fields to go around. That was number one.
Okay, but it was portrayed more like it was a profit generator, and I know that's not
for
the way things work.
For sports tourism, the economic impact that the Visitors Bureau gave us was, I believe, $1.38 million, and that's basically, all these teams, like we had 73, girls fast pitch teams, I think, at the last tournament. But that economic impact is they come into town, they spend money in the bars, maybe not
hotels.
The girls, bars, hotels, restaurants, that kind of stuff. And then that $1.38 million then, depending upon where it's spent, can turn over anywhere from 5 to 7 times in the local economy.
But what they do is they extrapolate if you're spending that much money in the 2% fund. Only comes to $20,000 or something, and that's all you got back.
But that's not really true. That's not the way it.
That's not the way it's portrayed when you sell it.
Right.
And I may have a problem with some of it. I don't think I had a problem with the PAC. I never was against it. But,
Well, the other thing too with the PAC is that, a lot of things are economic drivers. Education, our art center is an economic driver.
Roads. We'll get to roads.
Exactly.
We only got to talk about roads.
Yeah.
They're all drivers.
Yeah, but, with the PAC, one of the things was, one of the things that helped Hobby Lobby get here was the commitment that the PAC was going to be built. Talking to
They told you that?
Yep, okay. Absolutely. They called me and asked, when can we tell people that is done? So we got Hobby Lobby in there. We got Sportsman's Warehouse in there. We got a new hotel, Home 2 Suites, going up on First. That's partially due to the tourism from the PAC. And we're have another company coming in that wants to build a La Quinta right next to the PAC because they want that business, and they think
is that property available?
Yes, okay. They already own it.
Okay.
So they want to be able to put that hotel right next to the PAC so they can get the PAC business, because then the people will, can walk over and they can have a few beers and they can walk right back to the hotel and they don't have to drive. And, yeah, exactly.
There it is. Whatever.
Yeah.
Hey, let me ask you a few more, and I've got some more questions about the 2% fund.
Sure.
Like how can it go from $6.4 million balance carryover to a $3 million carryover to an $800,000 carryover? which I don't know if those numbers are real, or if they make sense to you, and not be losing money?
Yeah, because we were basically saving up money.
So you
to help pay.
It's not that you were building a fund; you were just not spending it.
Right.
So it was carrying over.
We were saving for. It's like when you were a kid and you wanted to buy a BB gun or something. You saved up your money.
Or I stole it from my mom's purse.
Yeah, whatever. But to be able to buy it, it's the same thing.
Okay.
You know?
So you knew there was going to be a big check written because you weren't going to bond the entire facility. You were going to bond a portion.
We needed the money to basically we wanted to make sure we had plenty of money to pay off the bonds. So the bonds are stretched over 20 years.
So you didn't really, in essence, keep a balance sheet on as much as you just carried it forward.
Right. Whatever we don't spend, we carry forward.
So the fact that it went from 6.4 million down to 3, down to 8 was scheduled, and it doesn't mean that next year it's going to be a negative 3.
No. No.
Okay, because at that rate, you know, you're going to have red ink.
Yeah.
but the spending that you want to do was done.
Right.
And now.
It's like when you save up to buy a new car. When you buy the car, you buy it, and then you're not going to have to do anything.
And that's what this is. This
right.
was. For the down payment or whatever, you were not going to bond.
Right.
Is paid for.
And like I said, I rattled off the different things that we built as kind of one in each area. So we've accomplished those. So I don't believe we're going to be building anything for quite a while. I would say 2024, 2026, something like that.
You can't take the hate mail. I wouldn't build anything for a while.
Russ, we got the same thing. I wasn't in this seat, but we got the same thing when we built the Valley Aquatic Center, the pool out there. We got the same. The city got the same thing. I've even heard that when Kennedy Pool went in, you know, the city got some of the same thing. It's like
some of it's be expected, and I keep asking for transparency. You keep coming in. I mean, anytime I've called you, you've always come in.
Yes.
I just get tired of talking to you.
Well, I'll be here. I told you I'd come in once a month or whatever you needed.
And you have, and you volunteered. Yeah. You've always answered, even if we agree or disagree. I always get something from you. You know, speaking of pools, one issue I did have one time when you were like, just because you brought it up.
Yeah.
But lifeguards, we didn't have enough lifeguards. Like, we had the pool and no lifeguards. And I was like, I didn't call you, but I meant to. I was like, I should beat him up. I mean, you should take lifeguard training,
lifeguards,
if nothing else.
Yeah, lifeguards are a hard thing to, you know, and now that minimum wage has gone up and that kind of stuff, lifeguards is a tough thing. You know, what we try to do is we actually hire some teachers in the summer, and we hire students in the summer that have their Red Cross certification, whatever.
I'll be a lifeguard. I can't swim, but I'll be a lifeguard.
There you go.
You just need to keep those things open.
We'll give you a big long pole.
Once we pay for them, I need to take a break. We'll be right back. AM 560 KBLU. This is Russ Clark. Greg's with me.
Hey, Russ.
Actually, I do like it. I mean, I like the transparency. I don't mind grilling you, man.
Yeah.
And you somehow don't mind answering. And here's another question I got from a listener. Did the city fail to report $555,000 on a development fee annual report?
Yeah, there's a $555,000. What they're talking about, and I talked about this at betteryuma.org, so it's probably one of those folks that text you on it. There was $555,000 that we are required to report on the DFAR.
DFAR.
I don't know.
Acronym.
I can't remember. It's,
okay.
Yeah. So, and that was half of the bond payment on the PAC bond, and within legal, Dan White, great attorney, he left and he does the DFAR reporting for us.
Okay.
And in the interim, that was not submitted, so we've corrected that. And
so it was left off.
Yep, it was left off, but it was an omission because we had somebody leave and all of the job duties weren't picked up, and so we corrected.
Were there fines involved? Did you
no.
get did
no.
was arrest warrants made? just curious.
No,
no, wasn't one of those admissions.
You know, we're a government agency. We have thousands of requirements for reporting and auditing and all kind of stuff, and you know, and it's not too many
of those.
Yeah, it's not an audit issue or anything else like that. It's just a report that we had to get done and get out. And Dan had left. And
but it wasn't a mishandling of money. It just wasn't reported.
Yeah.
Stuff. Okay.
Yeah.
Another question. Has said he spent over $2 million on PAC from development fees. I don't know what that means. Development money did go into the PAC, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, we bought the land from a pre-2012 development fee. And development fees, and we've had pro rata, we've had a couple different types of development fees as the laws change and all that kind of stuff. So, yes, the land was bought, part of the land was bought from development fees.
Okay.
And then we did pay that $555,000 out of development fees.
Is that improper, or is that...
No.
Okay.
No, that's as...
Is that on public record and all that
yep,
stuff?
Yep, I can show you resolutions dating back. I went as far back as 2011, where it's been in all of our budgets and our CIPs and all this other kind of stuff.
Are you familiar with Section 2 on the city? I don't know what that is. City rules or something. They can remove the city administrator anytime that by voting it. Are you aware?
Yes.
Oh, you are.
That's part of the charter. Yep.
Is that part of the charter?
It is.
Section
2.
Just got brought to my attention that it existed.
Yep.
Well, what are they waiting for?
I guess, you know,
what's wrong with our elected officials? They can remove you at any time.
Yes.
How many does it take to vote?
It was seven, so it takes a majority council.
Just need to get four of them?
Yep.
Get the governor on the phone. Or the mayor. Let's get the mayor.
Yeah.
No, and that's always been out there, and that just gets... And somehow it gets pointed out in some of these videos. Did you know? And you've never watched them?
No. Huh? Why? Hardly anything's in... anything in there is true. I have better things to do than to watch. You know, every city has their naysayers and their bitter old man and all this other kind of stuff. And you know,
don't be sexist. So it could be women.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Mm-hmm. But when Jack was around and Jack went away, it's sad to see anybody pass away. But you know, as soon as Jack was gone, there was going to be somebody else take their place.
I warned people, as soon as Jack leaves, there's more.
Yes.
It's always going to be, and I guess I'm okay with that. I should invite Jack in all the time.
Right.
Even. I mean, I don't care. Yeah. I mean, I think it's interesting to have and find out what the viewpoints are. But Jack didn't... I stopped inviting Jack in when he stole all my candy. I had candy out there on the counter.
And he just filled up his...
He loaded his pockets. He stood there. He leaned his crutches up against there and loaded his pockets out.
Hey, it was free.
I asked him, I said, what are you doing? Well, it's left out here for us. Okay.
You know, and the other thing, Russ, is I don't want to get this as like really negative. We have a great community.
We do.
We have a great community. Our police officers are wonderful. They amaze me. Every day they do such a good job, and I, you know, trying to fixate on this one little thing, and I don't want,
I don't want to fixate on it really, Greg, but I think it's fair to ask questions.
Yes,
I think it's fair for Henry to ask questions. I mean, I'm good with it all, and I'm good to ask them of you. I like it, actually. Yeah. I do like it, I know you're going to have some answers, and we'll put it out there on public display. I mean, I'm going to put this on the webpage, too. So if anyone questions whether Greg said or didn't say, just go check it. Yeah. And if he did something wrong, tell the mayor.
Yeah.
but your job is going to be constant question. That's fine.
Yeah.
That's what you do.
Yep.
So it's all acceptable. And I've been to the PAC a few times.
Mm-hmm.
And I told Henry the other day, I said, look, I wasn't sure about it, but since they put fish in it, I'm okay.
There you go. That was actually a really good event when they...
He looked at me like I lost my mind. I don't even fish.
Yeah.
But making use of it was good. It was a good event.
Yeah, it was. It was. You know, when Game and Fish, doing the partnership with Game and Fish, where they stock, a couple of ponds, and the kids can go out there. You know, it's a closed environment. You don't have to have a boat. You don't have to worry about, your little kids falling in the river or something like that. And you can go out there and fish in, the two ponds we have. That's a really fun thing.
It is fun. Somebody said it wasn't fun kind of concerned me. He's talking about the tournaments.
Okay.
And he said, according to your record, you did bring in more tournaments.
Yep.
Like 17 or something. More.
17 more.
Yeah,
right.
Okay. The thing that concerned him, he said that there were tournaments that were already in Yuma, which we all know.
Yep.
Wasn't going to, it wasn't new to us to have tournaments. But the tournament people were forced to go to the new venue or pay more or something for where they were. And I said, that doesn't sound good. I don't like that. But is that fact? Did we close off venues saying you no longer can go here because you have to go to the PAC?
No. But what I would say is, you know, there are some things, efficiencies and that kind of stuff that, and I don't know if that's true or not. It might be, but I know we're using all of our fields right now, so it could be availability. But the other thing too is when we put on tournaments, there are certain things that you need for tournaments, and you know, you need to have more snack bar, you know, more snack bar people, more of all this. You need to have all the equipment. You need to be able to turn the fields and get them ready for the next game really fast.
Yep.
And so I believe that would be a smart thing for us to have all of our big tournaments at the PAC, so we don't have to relocate things, maybe add more people to have, you know.
But if somebody wanted to use another field, no one's come to you anyway and said they were denied.
No.
But it's possible.
It's possible. You know, we do the same thing at the pools. You know, we don't, if somebody wants to use this pool, we don't turn on the heaters and spend, you know, a whole bunch of money, you know, $30,000 a month heating a second pool. We make everybody go to the pool that we're heating in the winter.
Okay.
You know, so we have the Valley Aquatic Center.
Because you don't have them all open. You don't have the...
No. No, that would really be a waste of money. So we have, you know, we still have to be good stewards of the taxpayers' money. Mm-hmm. And so we only, in the winter, we will keep Marcus Pool because it's a smaller pool and it's cheaper to heat. And heating pools, if anybody has a pool out there and they heat it in the winter, they know it's expensive to keep heating the pool. So we have all the teams and everybody, we push them towards the one pool that we heat. So that's really, to me, that's really a smart thing to do.
Public safety funds. Now, it was mentioned by Henry that public safety funds were diverted or used to pay part of the bond, and that would be not proper.
That is blatantly untrue.
Not true.
Not true. And, you know, the problem is, he doesn't understand the bond, and the person that's feeding him all the information doesn't understand the bond. You know, I went through how the bond has been refinanced, and there's two different types of bond. One is the general obligation bond, which goes to the voter and is paid for on property tax, paid for on your secondary property tax. We don't do those. The other type of bond is a pledge bond or revenue bond, however you want to say it. And when you put out a bond, you may put out a bond for, you know, $40 million, let's just say. You know, $5 million may go to build a fire station. You know, $3 million may go to this, you know.
But a single bond is...
Right, and it has a bunch of purposes. And so whatever purpose that bond was spent for, that's what fund has to pay it back. And obviously the general fund could be used to pay back any of them. But, and so what he's talking about is blatantly not true.
Okay.
And that is when we have auditors come in and we have an audit every year, and every 2 years we have a development fee audit, they specifically look at bonds to see where the money was spent, what fund is paying for it. That is one of the specific details that auditors do. This particular bond, since it went out in 1995, it has been audited, I believe, 21 or 22 times.
And it's audited to verify that the funding was proper, the payback was used from proper funds.
Yeah.
So because you can't take some funds and put it where it doesn't belong. And I know some funds are locked.
And
if it's public safety, it's got to stay there.
Yeah, and that's absolutely what auditors do. That is what they are looking for.
All right.
And it happens once in a while, but very rarely does the city ever, you know, ever cross that line. And I will say that we have gone, I believe it's something like 38 years, so this is way before me, 38 years with no findings on our annual audit. And that's remarkable, because you can absolutely make an accidental mistake and miscode something.
And you're not using the same auditors. You're required to change those.
We contract
3 years or something.
Well, we contract out. I think it's every five. We put out a new contract every 5 years.
Okay.
To bring auditors on. There's only a few. You know, they have to have certain.
Governmental auditing is different, and it's you're not going to have everybody want to do that.
No.
It's boring.
Yeah.
Right?
Development fee audits. You know, because that audit requirement only came out a couple of years ago. We actually had to really search for somebody that would do an audit, you know, the 2-year audit on development fees, because nobody had ever done it before, so they didn't know how to cost it, how many hours it would take, and all that kind of stuff. But now that it's been in place for, you know, 3 or 4 years, now there's other people out there. So we're going to go back out, because we could only find one company last time to do that. But we're going back out to see who we can get to do that.
Henry mentioned to me that he asked you, or asked the city, for documents on some of these issues, and that he has been refused, and he's not getting documents. Now, I told him that's never happened to me. Well, give me the write-up that you've got, and let me see if I can get it from him.
That is absolutely not true. I actually went in, because I heard about this. I went in yesterday morning and grabbed all the public records requests we had. He has not submitted any public records request. The only public records request we have on this issue is, of course, one from Phil Clark,
right.
And there's three from Will Katz.
Identity of law firm attorney to determine all allegations to be.
Yeah.
He's asking for, was this one denied?
That document actually is attorney-client privilege.
Yeah, as I say, you can't, there's a lot of things at the county there was privilege, we have executive session, we can't release those documents.
Yeah, and Phil knows that. It's just
of course he knows that.
Yeah, he also did a public records request for to see for the posting for my wedding.
Really?
Yes.
Awesome. I didn't make it, by the
That's
way.
The kind of, yeah.
I know. I was going to be there, and I don't know why I wasn't on my calendar.
Yeah. And those are three public records requests by Will Katz.
Okay.
And I think that's where Henry got some of his information from.
And these were all submitted, though, right?
Yes. We have not filled. There's three there. They're pretty substantial.
Yeah, it's big.
We have partially filled them, and the attorney's office is working on some of the rest of the things. But
these will be filled?
Yes.
And they're back from September, though?
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, some of these requests take a lot of research and time.
Okay.
And and that's one of the things that I'm having an issue with, because we're getting distracted in this. We have a lot of things to do. We have developers want to build. We have development agreements to get people construction. And when we get distracted doing these other things, it takes time. And it's just not a productive use of people's time.
The questions are okay, but it's kind of like this Mueller investigation. We don't really know what the crime is, but we're going to ask for enough information. We'll eventually find one.
Yeah.
Is that what you feel like this is?
Yes.
That's fair. We'll be right back. AM 560, KBLU. This is Russ Clark. Greg's still here. You know, you started off your morning with me. I kind of appreciate that.
Sure.
It's kind of nice. You look pretty relaxed still. You know?
Yeah, it's good. Well, the truth is, I love transparency, because then all the facts get out there and you know, you can see that we're doing things right.
Well, and I hope I ask you enough questions that you feel it is transparent. Because when you do your own show, I mean, you just got your own guys asking you questions. That's nothing. That's nothing at all, man.
Right.
Yeah, that's not transparency.
Yeah, we get a few calls and stuff like that.
But you're covering events as much as anything.
Yeah, trying to keep people updated. You know, we have some phone calls about, you know, street lights, traffic lights, and all the kind of stuff that we take care of, and I get those all the time, and I'm happy to do that.
Hey, I'm running out of time, but I got to cover Rampapo.
Okay.
Right. You know, and I know it's a big deal because Henry mentioned it, and I guess he's wearing a shirt. It's the name of a city? Is that what it is?
Yeah, it's a small city in New York. I believe it's a town in New York.
And they fired and crucified a guy just like you for lying?
Not quite.
Okay.
So here's what...
Just on my wish list.
So you got... Yeah, like you said, wearing it on a shirt, sitting in the front row or close to the front row for city council meetings.
Yeah.
And I guess the issue is to try to intimidate. But so Ramapo, it's interesting because Ramapo does not have a council manager form of government. Their mayor is called the supervisor, and their deputy mayor is deputy supervisor, and they have three council members.
All elected?
All elected.
Okay.
So the council runs the government, and of course that's...
Dangerous.
Dangerous.
Yeah.
And of course what happened was the mayor represented, that they were bringing in more revenue than what they had to try to get bond rates lower. And of course, a member of staff, one of the staff, ratted him out,
uh-oh,
and so the mayor ended up going to jail. So it's, I don't know, I haven't paid too much attention to it, but, you know, so literally, you know, he thinks he's threatening me, and actually he's threatening the mayor and council with that they've done something criminal.
But nobody has.
No.
I mean,
no. It's such a. It's gotten so.
But everyone.
It's such a joke.
Everything's checked through attorneys. Everything gets checked through.
Yes.
I hope.
Yeah, and like I said, I mean, this bond that they're talking about has been audited at least. I would say at least 20, 21 times.
But now you're
going
to do it again? Is it necessary, or is he doing it for public support? I mean, is it a public request, you feel, as much as anything? Or?
No. I think, you know, the mayor's like, look, he goes, we keep answering the questions. It's been audited. We've had our independent bond counsel. We've done all this stuff. So let's just do it one more time. So he said, okay, fine. So we went out, and we have an independent auditor who's going to come in, brief the council on TV. Then we got another bond counsel.
Be directed to verify these allegations or not true or true,
yes,
or whatever, just
again,
to look into these allegations.
Yeah. And then, you know, the hope was that it'll be done, but I'm guessing they'll not be done.
They'll keep looking, maybe. I don't know. And I'm okay with it.
And that's on the 19th.
That's what you do.
19th council member,
okay.
The new audit and a new bond counsel with the old bond counsel will be there to brief counsel.
Well, I hope you get to come in again. You're not in jail or something. But if you are, I'll visit.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's okay.
Bring chocolate chips.
Hey, look, I am not against transparency or asking you any question at all.
I absolutely believe that, too.
And if there is something into any of this, it needs to be looked at. I'm okay with all of that. So, I appreciate you spending the hour with me, starting my morning off.
Yeah.
But if I find something else, I'll call you. If there's
absolutely
other stuff, and
call me,
and we'll get it here. And I don't invite you in enough, and you've offered.
Yeah.
And I just got bored with you.
Yeah.
This
whenever
isn't boring, though. This is fun. So thanks, Greg. I'll be back tomorrow. AM 560 KBLU. This is Russ Clark.